Aisha, and I'm a former host of Mocha Single Mothers by Choice, or SMCs. Like you, as an SMC, I decided to become a mother knowing I'd be the sole care provider and parent for my children, at least at the outset. The Mocha stood for Black, so I'm using the word Black, and I'll be discussing being a single mother by choice from a Black woman's lens. You'll connect with all the interesting and fun things about this non-traditional path, like discussing which sperm to use and some hard truths about fertility and the realities of dating as a single mother who doesn't have a co-parent to rely on occasionally, and what it's actually like to parent as an S&C. This is the Black Single Mothers by Choice podcast.
Hello, everyone. My name is Dominique. I am 31 years young. I am from Maryland, and I'm a new mom, and I love being a mom. It is hard, but I love it, and I wouldn't trade it for anything.
We're so excited to have you here. But before we get going, I wanted to check in with you. I think you just became a brand new mom, and you have started back to work. What's that been like?
So the beginning of motherhood was really rough for me. Full transparency, postpartum depression did a number on me. I was not prepared for that. I feel like that was a conversation with postpartum and healing, and that wasn't, like, all the ugly things was not discussed with me. However, I had a lot of support with my mom and my best friend slash sister. Like, it's been really helpful in those early stages. Returning to work was really hard to do because it was against my own terms. Mm-hmm. I had to go because I took leave without pay. The people I work for only gave me 10 days of maternity leave.
Oh,
so I had to go back because I financially could not afford to stay home any longer. So that's the part I didn't like about it. And I wish I could have stayed home longer. Yeah, just to get better adjusted. But I was prepared to stay home without pay, but he needs a roof over his head. So I had to go back to work. Yeah, I definitely felt really off. I had a hard time communicating it, but I understand what I was going through now, looking back at it. And I still get waves of, oh my God, what am I doing? I feel way better than I did at week two.
Good. Glad to hear that. So you were an egg donor. Can you tell us a little bit about that? What it was like? How did you arrive at that decision? How old were you? And how did you even get connected and know that egg donation was a thing?
So at the time, I was actually 20 when I first heard about it. And I was working at a jewelry store. And some lady said, you should really consider being an egg donor. And I'm like, what is that? And I looked into it and I saw how much you get paid. I said, wait, you get paid. At the time, I got paid $6,000. I said, $6,000 to a 21-year-old. That's a lot. To a 21-year-old who was living with, I was living with my mom. I was in school. The only bill I had was my car note and my car insurance. And I said, oh, yeah, sign me up.
So the person who suggested it, was she Black?
Yes.
Wow.
She was a Black woman. And she got me in contact with a donor coordinator at a local fertility center in DC. And at the time I wasn't old enough. I was 20 and you had to be 21, but my birthday was literally like a few weeks away. So she gave me the application to look over and to make sure this is the decision that I wanted to do. So to be really honest, I did it because of the money and I was excited about that.
So I'm curious, because this is one of the things that I think is stigmatized, and I'd like to unstigmatize it for our spaces, because I think there's a lot about fertility, infertility, IVF that we're just not necessarily exposed to as a first line of customer for these types of procedures. And so we get folks that come to our community that are young, we get folks that come to our community that are experiencing fertility challenges, we get folks coming to our community that are 40 plus and think that they've reached the end of the road. So could you tell us a little bit about what the process was like? Because I'd like to let's get under the hood and let's talk some details, because I could tell you, I'm pretty sure when I was in school, I did read an article about egg donation, the same thing with pole dancing, but I didn't know it was pole dancing because it was like dance, but no experience, $300 an hour or some crap a day or something. I was like, I could dance. And I'm pretty sure I saw the egg thing and I'm like, I could do eggs, right? And so could you tell us a little bit about, you said that someone reached out to you, took you through the process, but what was that process like? So you got the application and then what came next?
So the application itself was extremely thorough. I thought it was something I could get done in maybe a day or two. But I had to really consider the questions because they were questions I've never been asked before. I can't remember all the questions, but one question I will not forget was, what was your temperament as a child?
And I was spicy.
What did you say?
I had to sit down and I was like, Mom, what was my temperament as a child? And Mom, like, you were always into something. You were very mischievous. So I was like, if I put mischievous on here, is somebody going to want me? But I did it anyway because I wanted to be honest. I wanted to be as honest. This is somebody's life. So after doing the application, it took me about 3 weeks to do it. I would do it, put it down and think on it, really just figure it out. But I did the application and then I thought that, okay, cool, I'm a donor. And my donor coordinator was like, no, ma'am, you have more steps to do. So to give you a timeline, I started in August. After doing the application, I went through, what was next? Oh, they did a physical on me. So I had to do a physical. I got a lot of blood drawn. I mean, it was like, it felt like it was almost every other day. I was getting my blood drawn. And what I appreciate about it is that they were checking for everything. So I'm getting a whole, for free, I'm getting a whole workup on if I'm a genetic carrier for sickle cell or I don't know, like for anything. I'm just getting all that workup to see if I'm a carrier for any of that stuff. They did a whole workup on me. Then they had to monitor my cycles and things. No, I'm sorry, I'm jumping ahead. I had to actually go to a psychiatrist.
Okay.
And that was actually really uncomfortable. The psychiatrist, she was white. And I felt like she was really pushing. I thought I was being bullied in my meeting. I felt like she was talking me out of it. And then she also started, when I also mentioned my family, about my parents and my upbringing, she felt like, why did you have such a good life? That's what it felt like. I was like, I have two parents. Yes.
Yeah.
Like,
wow.
I never knew what the word struggle meant. Yes. I had a good life. And I felt like she was trying to, I didn't like it. I couldn't wait to get up out of it. I guess she was trying to figure out I was doing this for the right reasons, but no matter what my reasons were, if I was mentally okay and if my workup said I was okay, then what are those unnecessary questions have to do with it? I think one of them was like about my dad's age. Your dad seems old. How do you feel about that? I feel fine. He's great.
It's always interesting to hear these stories because we know that there's a shortage of Black donors, whether it's embryos, eggs, or sperm. And so it's just interesting to hear these stories.
It was, I remember that being the most uncomfortable part. After everything I've done, I remember that being the most uncomfortable part. I do remember when I went to get, afterwards I was cleared by the psychiatrist to go ahead and proceed forward. So by this time, it's about mid-September. I started late August. It's about mid-September. I got cleared by a psychiatrist. So then they had to monitor my period to make sure everything was regular. And they had to check my uterus and check the thickness of it and stuff like that. And I remember the doctor, I still remember his name to this day. He said, wow, women would kill for this kind of uterus. And I was like, what? He said, women would kill for this kind of uterus. And he was so passionate about it. He said, wow, just look at this. You could see it was like triangular. You could see the three lines. Like, it's so thick. Wow, this is all, people would kill for this uterus.
That's
he
great.
Was so passionate about it. Yeah, and actually he still works at the practice too. I look him up every now and then. I'm like, hey, you're still there. So fast forward, I was actually approved in October. So the process took about, I would say about 2.5 months-ish. It was like towards the middle of October. So I was approved in October. And my donor coordinator, who was also Black, she explained everything in detail. I didn't know what questions to ask, but I felt like all my questions were answered. She explained to me that some women cannot have children or they have a harder time having children. They may have waited too long. They may have wanted to do something on their own. So she explained to me all the acronyms. The only acronym I was familiar with was F. Mm-hmm. And she explained that this is why this is what donors are used for in this case. We're going to retrieve an egg. We're going to use IVF. And this is what IVF looks like. It was great. I understood exactly what was happening. Like I said earlier, I didn't know what questions to ask, but I felt very informed through the process. And so when it was time for things to happen, she showed me, she walked me through how to get the injections and stuff to myself. And she made it very comfortable and an easy transition from becoming a donor to what's it like on the other side and where they go. And then she actually did push to be anonymous, but I said, no, I'll be an open ID. And she said, are you sure? This is what a lot of other women do. But she respected my wishes and I was actually open ID for, I did two cycles.
So back up for a second, she was pushing for you to be anonymous. Did she say why?
She just said that a lot of women who are donors prefer to be anonymous. And she just made sure she did just understand that with being an open ID, that you're not out to get a relationship with the child once they become of age, if they choose to find you. I said, oh, I understand. Like, I completely understood exactly what I was doing. I don't ask you for money. Don't ask you for advice. But if you want to know about medical history or interests that I'm into, that's fine. But I was okay with it. So she said, okay. And she had me down as an open ID.
That's odd. It feels like there was a bit of projecting there because I used an egg donor and I know quite a few SMCs who've used egg donors. So first, thank you for your donation. I wouldn't have the family that I have if it wasn't for that. It just extended and gave me a bit more time in trying to figure out what was going on with my body. But most of the SMCs, and I know SMC is just a small percentage of who the recipient pool could be. And so for the most part, just about all of us would want to have the option of having an open ID and then making a choice accordingly. And so I think it's odd that she would say most donors, because most recipients would want to push for open and not for anything other than being, for me, being able to answer any questions that my child might have with regards to just making it, it's yours to either opt into or decide not to have anything to do with the donor at all, having all the options on the table.
I definitely feel like technology is catching up with donors. I don't think they saw this coming. 10 years ago.
So I guess now staying on that same thread, your open ID. So how would you feel if tomorrow a donor child reached out to you and said, you're my biological egg donor, I'd like to chat?
Imagine this conversation probably for the first 3 years. And then I stopped imagining it because I don't know. Oh, okay, it was nice to meet you. I'm willing to answer any questions you have about medical or interest, common interest, but that's as far as it goes. And saying it with so much love. Yeah, I think it really is responsibility of the birth parent to inform their child, in my opinion, of their decision, the choices they made to either start or expand their family. Mm-hmm. And I think that will have an impact on how that child communicates with a donor if they do get in contact with them. I have every intention of talking to my son just about, this is how my family was created. I wanted you so badly that this is what I did. And I wouldn't think think twice of it.
Would you explain to him about egg donation as well?
Oh, absolutely. Because it's not just getting a sperm donation to have a family, because I helped someone else, other women have start or expand their families. And now I was able to be on the receiving end as well. It's full circle. I hope to raise someone who is open-minded and I hate to say the word tolerant, but I guess tolerant and understanding of this is how families are not created just one way. There are multiple ways that families can be created or expanded or started.
So I do have a question, because I'm still in the process of articulating my daughter's conception story. And it's changed quite a bit from my first child, which was just a sperm donor. And I tweaked it just a bit for the sperm and egg to say that there are three things that are required to create a family, to create a baby, right? You need the male part, the female part, and you need the uterus, because that's what both my girls have in common. And then all of the little glitter and sprinkles that you add in just from being in the environment. But my question for you is, now that you have a child and you also have eggs that are out there, you talked about the child reaching out to you. How would you handle it? Would you consider the child that resulted from your egg a donor sibling? And how would you handle that? Would you be open to the donor child meeting your child?
So you're saying the donor child, the egg I donated?
Yeah.
Okay. That's actually a really good question that I've never considered, because I consider my son's donor siblings from sperm. Like, we all talk and we connect, but what about the other half? So I would say, I don't know. I don't think, I'm not at a yes, I'm not at a no. I just wonder what, how that relationship would be, because he knows that half of him is me, but he doesn't have access to the sperm part of him that comes from the other half that he would get from his donor siblings. So I don't know. That's, I have to really think about that. You know, I got about 8 years. He can relate to being a donor child. I hate that word, donor child, but
I know I'm not even sure how to word it right, because it's just like, in the SMC space, you typically think, okay, you get a sperm donor, like, that's well researched, that path is well thought out, and then you think, okay, so you're an egg recipient, right? It's typically what we see in our space. It's rare to have both a person who is both a donor and a recipient, so to speak. Seeing donor siblings on both sides is rather interesting. And I will say, in full transparency, I'm in contact with donor siblings for my eldest, and I'm a slow walker. It took me about 2 years to even do that for her. And so now I'm like slow walking, and I'm fairly well versed in how to navigate the sperm side. But because the egg donor is typically anonymous, I'm still trying to grapple with what that might look like, what that conversation would even entail. This is part processing for me as well, because this is a whole different dimension. And it's just like, oh, okay, that's interesting. Because as a recipient, first you have to come to grips with, okay, I need a donor egg, right? And then it's just like, okay. And I think we're all open about using donor sperm, because that would be something that's outside of your body anyway. But the egg is something that's integral to the inner workings of your own body. And so how do you come to terms? Like, I'm open with it, but I'm also very sensitive to it being my daughter's story part of it. And the only reason why I'm as candid as I am about it, because Hera and I, we had early conversations about how much and to what extent I wanted to talk about this. And I feel that we want celebrities to share more. And so, me not being a celebrity, but a layperson, I'm like, I could share more, because we're starting to see more people in their 40s come to our group. And it's important to see that and to understand that it is an option. And so I talk about it a little bit more than I'm even comfortable talking about it. But I feel that it's an important conversation to have, even as I am in the process of trying to navigate it. So yeah, this is helping me as well.
Yeah.
So, sure.
I remember my donor coordinator, she said, you're going to get picked up right away. And I said, oh, okay. As soon as my application went live, 2 days later, I had a family. And then I was doing the cycle. Another family wanted me during that same cycle.
And I wonder, what advice would you give to men or women, or even people with embryos who are like maybe thinking about becoming a donor or thinking about donating embryos, like they're on the fence? What would you tell them that might help them to make a more informed decision?
So a lot of women choose not to become donors because they have this whole thing that, oh, those are my kids and my kids are out there. But we have to realize that these are eggs that you probably were never going to use in the first place. They were going to just disappear because you don't ovulate just one egg. You ovulate one egg, but then you have all these others in reserve that just disintegrate and go somewhere. And so to answer the question, I think that we first have to get out of our own heads and understand that these are not our children. You are literally helping someone else out by just giving up 1 to 10. let's be realistic. Between
my donor gave up 6, 6, and 2, 12, 13, 14. 14, and I think that was with one cycle. And then I think you go through what, 3 or 4 cycles, however many cycles.
Yeah. So I think you only do, at the time, I could only do a maximum of 6. Okay. Six cycles. But one family was getting those one egg. Like, it was for that family. When I think about people, what to say to couples and things like that, that are thinking about, or people, excuse me, to that are thinking about donating, we really need to see ourselves. We need to really see ourselves represented. When it comes to this, infertility can affect anyone. It doesn't matter if you're Black, brown, white, or anybody. Like, I remember sitting in that waiting room and just seeing all colors affected by the same thing, infertility, whether it be from age or waiting too long or whatever the case may be. But I feel like Black women, we just are not talking about it. And they had us on, like, when we go back to slavery times, they had us on breeding farms. So they automatically think that we shouldn't have this problem, but we do face it. And mm-hmm. there are women who need donors, and we can help those women just by donating some eggs that we weren't going to use in the first place. But you have to also understand that these eggs did not, you weren't going to use them. Let's be real. You weren't going to use them.
So Dominique, okay. So now let's flip to your SMC journey. So what made you decide to become an SMC, and did having donated eggs in the past make this path an easier choice for you?
So I had some complications with pregnancies before all of this happened. And so I realized that my OB had figured out what the problem was, but she said that if you're going to start a family, one, you need to do it now. And two, you're going to need some help. And so I had the money, I had the resources, the insurance covered it. I went for it. And it's something I had been thinking about for a few years leading up to becoming an SMC. And she got me in touch with a Black fertility doctor.
Oh, that's awesome.
We kept it Blacky Black over here, okay?
I love it.
She got me in touch with a Black fertility doctor. I had a wonderful experience. And the doctor herself, she says, before she even started anything, she said, what's your support look like? Because you're going to need it. What also made it really helpful is that because I was a donor, I was very familiar with the terminology. Yeah. I mm-hmm. understood what was happening. I think a few things had changed just from being a recipient now, but I understood what I needed to do. I understood the terminology. So I wasn't learning this stuff for the first time. Mm-hmm. But even though I'm young, I was initially, I want to say running out of time. My doctor said, you're going to need some help and you need to do it now before it becomes too late. And mm-hmm. so I did it. And now I have a kid, and I also froze some of my eggs too in case I wanted to do it again. But right now it's not giving that. But
you wanted to do the assignment. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So now I'm curious, having been an egg donor yourself, when you were on the other side and trying to conceive now using a sperm donor, what was that experience like for you?
Oh my God, I found a Black donor. I was so excited. Keep in mind, the website had about, I think it was 630 something donors, and only 16 of them identified as Black. Wow. And I chose the one guy. I sent the information over to my fertility doctor, and she was like, absolutely not. She said, he is a carrier for too many dangerous things for Black women. She said, I refuse to do this. And I was like,
what?
But this is my choice. She said, she started putting on numbers. She said, your child has this possibility of doing that. Being a single mom with mm-hmm. a sickly child, she said, that's going to be a lot, Dominique. Mm-hmm. Try to find somebody else. So I had to go back. I put in the CMV negative. That wasn't what he was carrying, but it was other stuff he had. I think he had sickle cell. But anyway, I put in CMV negative. And do y'all know, out of those 16 donors, one of them was CMV negative? And that one guy who was CMV negative, Lord forgive me, I said, you could have chose a better picture. He just looked like a gremlin. I was like, oh, I couldn't read anything else about him because I was so turned off from the photo. So then I had to start looking at other donors, and I started looking at brown people because I refused to have a colonized person inside of me.
Yeah.
I love this.
Does that sound too harsh?
No, not too harsh. If it was your initial reaction, those are your feelings. Your feelings are valid.
Yes. When I say I scanned that website, I scanned it. Okay.
High five.
And I was on crunch time too. And I think I ended up still, you know what? I was getting close to a time where she was like, okay, have you made a decision? I didn't. So I had to skip that cycle. I was like, yeah, I'm not going to sit here and settle. But I kept coming back to this one donor. I feel like we could be friends. And I prayed on it and I felt really good about it. So I selected him and I'm so glad I did.
Yeah. They say your baby will find you. And when I saw that little face, I was just like, oh my goodness.
I mean, 8 years, y'all. 8 years it took for him to find me.
Yeah. Yes.
That's awesome.
All right. Okay. So a final question before we wrap. What advice would you give for recipients about approaching a donor when the child reaches 18? We know that DNA technology exists. Can you give us a bit of advice for how you would like to be approached when someone reaches 18?
I hope that when my donor recipients approach me, that they understand that I did this out of an act of love. I did this because at first it was for the money, let's be realistic, but I want them to understand that I did this to help someone else out. When I saw all those women in that waiting room who were just like at the edge of their seats, yearning for a child, it shifted from money to, you know what, this is more than me. And so I want them to also understand that although I am your donor, I am not your mother. I am just that, only your donor. So please don't, I hope they don't come looking for a relationship. I cannot provide that, but I can provide any answers to questions they may have in terms of maybe if they're trying to find like their identity or if they're struggling or grappling, like where do they belong in this world? I can do my best to help with that, but their family is the one that birthed them, that's their mother, that's their father, if they have one, or their bonus mom, whoever. And they did every single thing that they did because of love. And I did the same thing. I did it as an act of kindness, an act of love to help someone else out. So I hope they approach me with just open arms and like, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you for choosing to do this to help me be here. Or thank you for helping my mother or helping my family to expand it. And I just hope they come with understanding. And I hope that their parent or parents are very transparent with them about their journey.
I definitely am grateful and want to say thank you because it is a gift. It's a wonderful gift. And I get to hug my gift every night and give her kisses and snuggle the back of her neck. And I know it would not be possible without the egg donation, the tissue donation. And so I just want to say thank you and to do a PSA to moms that are out there or people that are out there who think that they've reached the end of their fertility line. And this is such a viable option. And I can tell you that there is not a day, like the things that I see in that little girl that don't come from me, I just love them even more because there's such a curiosity. And I'm just like, yes. Oh my gosh, like you are amazing. It just reminds me of how amazing the gift was, how amazing the gift giver was. And I feel like I've stolen joy and I can't recommend it enough, especially if that you are meant to be a mom. And if this is your option, your kid will find you. The things about her, she reminds me of me. And so whatever that is, but thank you so much.
One other thing, just real honestly, if I didn't age out, I would love to donate as much as I could. Now being older and just knowing that people need donors, I would love to do it again. But I've aged out. Love this. I bought a passport and went traveling.
So that's awesome.
Hopefully those genes go right into that egg because I want my little kid to be a traveler. So I'm just like, yeah, no, it's an amazing gift. Full Pod, thank you so much for taking the time to listen. If you like what you've heard, please share this podcast with your girlfriends, and I'd love to hear your thoughts about the topics covered in this episode. So email me at mochasmc@gmail.com. If you found value in the topics covered, consider making a donation using the link in the show notes below. Till next time, Pod. Bye now.